Hi, I'm Ozzy. Welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. I believe that stories are powerful, and by sharing, we can grow together. That's why I created the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast, to share the unique stories and experiences of African immigrants abroad. Each week, you'll hear topics pertaining to education, healthcare, and career choices, or just pure banter. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hi guys, my name is Ozzy. Welcome to my page. So if this is your first time on my page, well, this is the page I created for my podcast, The Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. So I know I have a lot of new friends here, and so I'm going to take the time to tell you three amazing things about myself. The very first is that I have a unique name, and it's Ozioma. And the name is from Eastern Nigeria, and it means good news or gospel. Now, my parents have called me Ozzy for the longest time, and I find that even now, everyone calls me Ozzy, so feel free to call me Ozzy. The second thing I want to tell you that's amazing about me is that I'm the last of six girls. Yes, I have five sisters, and it's pretty unique because when I speak to people, after a while, they can kind of figure out that I'm the last. I don't know how they can tell, but I've owned it. So yes, I'm the last child in my family. And the third unique thing about me is that I have a podcast, and it's called The Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. So on my podcast, I talk about all the exciting things that have happened to me since I moved from Nigeria to the United States about a decade ago. So I moved for graduate school, and I've been here the whole time. I've been a student for the most part of it. I was a student for a really long time. That's because I went directly from an undergrad to getting my PhD. And it took me 5.5 years. Yes, it took me so long to complete the process. And the reason why it took me so long is literally because the first 2 years were like getting the master's. And then the next 3.5 years were like my dissertation, doing my research project. I was pretty much a lab rat the whole time. And now I graduated, I have my PhD, I'm at work, and good times. So that's what my podcast is about. You can find my podcast, The Tales of an African Princess in America, everywhere you find your podcast. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, just wherever you can find a podcast, search for The Tales of an African Princess in America and you'll find it. So I also invite really, really smart people to talk about healthcare, education, career choices, and even relationships. Because I find that you guys love to talk about love. So I invite my husband, Ademola, to come on the podcast and talk about relationship stuff, talk about life, what we're up to. You hear me call him Ade a lot on the podcast. Yes, his full name is actually Ademola. So on the last episode of my podcast, I talked about how I went from being a student to having a green card. And I was telling you guys about the process, and I got a tremendous amount of comments. People were reaching out to me in my DM. People were saying, hey, how did you do it? And things like that. And so I decided to create this little video to help you guys through the process. So I applied under a category called EB2 NIW. And that means employment-based, second preference, national interest waiver. It's a category that allows you to self-petition. You don't need a sponsor. In my case, I didn't even use a lawyer. I tried to. Definitely, if you need help, yes, if your case is complicated, I would say get a lawyer. But I called a lawyer up one day and she was like, well, it's $400 for consultation. And I was like, yeah, we just got married. I don't think we have that money to spend on consultation. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to halt the whole process. I'm going to try to do this myself. All right. So for the EB2 NIW, you just need to satisfy three requirements. The first is to show that you have an advanced degree. And a lot of people say to me, Ozzy, because you have a PhD, that's why you qualify. But the truth is no. On the USCIS website, it actually says that advanced degree is having a bachelor's degree plus 5 years of progressive work experience in your field. I know people who have master's degree that have gotten their green cards through this process. So the second is that you have to show that you have exceptional ability. And for me, I was able to show this because I have records of awards, scholarships, I have publications, I have people cite my work, I've gone to several conferences, I've spoken at these conferences, I've also been featured in newspapers, so it was kind of easy for me to show that I had exceptional ability. Another cool way to show is to get recommendation letters from experts in your field. All right. So that's a cool way to show that you have exceptional abilities. And now the third is to satisfy the requirements of the national interest waiver. Now, for that, you have to show that your work has substantial merit. You have to show that you're well positioned to do the work. And you have to show, thirdly, that your stay in the United States will be beneficial because of the work that you do. So today I'm going to give you three tips that will help you get recommendation letters. Now, for the EB2 NIW application, I got recommendation letters from people who do not know me personally, but only know me on the basis of my research, of my work. And this was kind of difficult for me because I'm really, really shy when it comes to asking for favors from people, especially people that I don't know. So what I did was I wrote down a list of 10 people in my field that I thought would give me great recommendation letters. And I took this list to my mentor and I was like, here are the list of people that I really wish would write recommendation letters for me. What do you think about this list? And she was like, okay, ask that person. These are the people that are most likely going to help you. Now, the very first tip I'm going to say is give your recommenders enough time. All right, don't rush people into writing recommendation letters for you. You want to give them enough time to where, because people are busy, super busy. Your recommenders have businesses, they have family, they have work. And so writing your recommendation letter is a favor to you. You don't want to rush them. You just want to give them enough time. The next thing that you want to remember to do is do a little bit of research on your recommenders. Now, the reason why I say do some research on recommenders is because I always advocate for people to write a draft of the recommendation letter. The EB2 NIW recommendation letters are quite specific because the first part of it is basically the recommender introducing themselves to whoever the USCIS officer is and saying, hey, my name is Dr. This, or my name is Mr. This, you know, I work here, I've done this work, you know, this is why I am qualified to recommend this person. And so if you're going to write that draft, for you to know that your recommender has done this and that, you have to have done some little bit of research on them. Now, the second part of that recommendation letter talks about what you bring to the table. So it talks about your achievements, it talks about the awesome things that you've done. I always advocate for people to write this draft themselves because you're the best person to write about your story. You're the best person that knows how much progress you've done, how amazing you are, and you tell your story so well. So it's best that you write a draft. I think it's an awesome idea to write a draft because it's much easier to edit a draft than to put words on a blank sheet. So you want to be able to write that letter so that your recommender's work is reduced to the barest minimum, right? So I think it's a great idea to write a draft. And when you're sending that draft to your recommender, it's also a good idea to include your CV. That way, if they get a little stuck, they can look at your CV and say, okay, here's what I can write, you know, stuff like that. The third thing I'll say is follow up. You want to always follow up when you send these emails out. You want to, because I wouldn't say do it every single day, but I gave like 2 weeks. So 2 weeks after I sent the first email, I sent a reminder email. And I say, hey, I'm just checking to see if you need any more information about me. This is a gentle reminder that I need the recommendation by this day. I plan to turn it in on that day, stuff like that. Also, when you get the green card, it's good practice to reach out to your recommenders and say, hey, remember when you recommended me? I got it. You know, the reason why that's great is because you're most likely going to need people again. And you don't want to be that person that only shows up when you need stuff. So it's good to always reach back to your recommenders, let them know you got your green card when you do get it. Or if you're applying to go to college or something, just let them know the outcome of whatever application that you put in. Now, for the EB2 NIW, when they write that recommendation for you, they also need to send you their CV as well, because the recommendation letter as well as the CV from the recommenders is submitted with the application package. So you always want to request for the CV from your recommenders as well. So I hope you guys enjoyed this video. I hope it was a little more insightful. I hope that now you know these three tips, you know, ask early, give them enough time, write a draft, do some research and write a draft. And the third, keep up follow-up and make sure that you're getting your recommendation letters as soon as possible. So if you enjoyed this video, please like, share, and of course, if you want all the juicy details about how exactly I applied, please listen to my podcast and you'll get all the juicy details. If you love this podcast, please remember to rate on iTunes and share with your friends. Have an amazing day, you guys. Bye-bye.
Do you know that about one in every three people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com.